since we are justified by faith. What does that phrase mean, to be justified by faith? Because of our faith, by means of our faith, through our faith, we are declared righteous. It is a pronouncement, almost like a legal proceeding pronouncing not guilty. We are proclaimed righteous. But we're not even righteous. We're not even close to being righteous. We do all sorts of things that we shouldn't do. We're not perfect. We're all still sinners, and big sinners too. Well, it doesn't matter. Because of Jesus, because of God's love for us as expressed in Jesus Christ our Lord, through our faith in Jesus the Christ, because of our faith in Jesus the Christ, by means of our faith in Jesus the Christ, we have been and are today, right here and right now, as we are, just as we are, proclaimed and pronounced righteous. Wow. I think God got a bad deal. We're not righteous. Well, I'm not righteous. I don't know. Maybe you are, but I'm not righteous. Back in the late 1800s and the early 20th century, people used to come out to see preachers. And preachers were the great speakers of the day. And people would drive or ride on horse or ride on trains from miles and miles around to come and to hear some of the great preachers of the day. One of the princes of the pulpit, or sometimes called peacocks of the pulpit, was a man by the name of Henry Ward Beecher. Henry Ward Beecher was a great Presbyterian preacher. He'd get up in the pulpit and he would preach for hours, friends, and people would sit amazed and rapt attention as he would preach from the scriptures and tell stories that would rivet the people. And one day he was preaching at a Methodist church in New York City. And in the middle of his sermon, he was preaching on righteousness and perfection. And he said, "You Methodists believe that you're all going to be perfect someday." And then he said, "Is there anyone here that is now today, this instant, perfect?" And in the back of the sanctuary stood up a little old lady. And Beecher said, "Sister, are you perfect?" And she said, "Well, no, but my husband's first wife was." Huh. Well, okay. Maybe there's perfection. I'm not sure. But most of us are not even close to being perfect. Most of us are not even close to being righteous, perfect. Indeed, some people would say, some Christians say, well, righteousness for faith may be a good way to get started in the Christian life, but from now on, you'd better earn it. We all know those kinds, don't we? It's like the old Smith Barney commercials with John Houseman there dressed in his three-piece suit in a restaurant there getting ready to egg, and he talks about Smith Barney and how they're good investment bankers and how they, you know, you put your money with them and it's going to be multiplied. And it ends by him saying, "Smith Barney, they make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it." Well, that's what sometimes some Christians in some places seem to think. You may be able to begin by faith, and righteousness may come by faith in the beginning of your life, but after that, you've got to earn it. Oops. If that's what we're called to do, if that's how we're called to live, if that's how righteousness continues after salvation, then we're all in trouble. Or at least I am. I don't know about you, but I may be. According to Paul, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace right here and right now. Y'all are sitting. Stand up. Stand up if you can. Stand up if it's in your ability. Stand up for just a moment. You are standing in God's grace. If you're sitting, you're sitting in God's grace. You are in the very midst of the grace, of the love, of the power, of the majesty, of the glory of God. Not by your own strength. You may be thinking, well, Greg, I had to struggle to my feet. No. By God's grace, you stand. You may be seated. By God's grace, we all, every single one of us, exist. Not by our works, not by our poor ability to perform a vague, watered-down, limited approximation of the law. Not by works righteousness, not by our being good and not doing bad things, not by our obeying a list, a laundry list of do-dos and don't-dos, but rather we exist, we live, and are declared righteous by God's grace alone. When we respond with faith and say yes to the gift of righteousness that God has for us in Jesus Christ, we are declared, presumed, pronounced righteous. And not our righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Christ's righteousness is perfect and comes to us through grace when we say yes to the relationship that God has for us. And this is true not just for the beginning of our religious life, not just for the beginning of our Christian existence, but throughout our existence, from day one to the day we die. We live by faith, empowered by God's grace in which we stand, and are declared, even though we're not, we're declared righteous. Even though we're still sinners, we're declared righteous. And we boast in this state, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Yeah, there we go. We're going to get to shine in God's glory. Yep. From now on, nothing's going to bother us. Everything's going to be sweetness and light. It's going to be easy peasy and peachy to be a Christian, right? Oh, y'all are just too educated, friends. And not only that, but we also boast of our sufferings. Boast of our sufferings? I don't like to suffer. Do you? This morning, I woke up to the sound of thunder overhead. Up above my head, I heard thunder in the air. And guess what happened? Power went out. Guess who had to take a cold shower this morning? Oh. You know, that's not suffering. Oh, it felt like suffering for a few minutes, but no, that's not suffering. We don't like to suffer. We don't want to suffer. Jesus suffered for us, I thought. He died for us on the cross. So we don't have to. Well, yes and no. Yes, Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us so that we might not fear death. However, we still suffer in this life. We still struggle with our own sins in this life. We still struggle with the sins of others, of family and friends and enemies in this life. We still struggle with illness in this life. We still struggle with the unknown in this life. We still struggle with work problems and debt problems in this life. We still struggle with the loss of loved ones in this life. We still struggle and we still suffer with pain and anguish in this life. We still struggle, we still suffer in this life. And Paul gives us hope in our suffering. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Can't we just jump to hope without right here, without all this endurance being produced and character being produced? I'd like to just jump right through to the end of the hope, right? Who would like to jump all the way to the end with hope?
That's right.
We all do. And you know what? Sometimes we do get to jump to hope. But usually we have to have some time of character building, endurance building, to have hope building in us. For while we were weak, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. I love how the King Jimmy puts it, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proves his love for us, demonstrates his love for us, establishes his love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. You mean we didn't have to be perfect for Jesus to die for us? Nope. You mean we don't have to perform good deeds and righteous deeds and be righteous for Jesus to love us and for God to love us and for the Father to love us and the Holy Spirit to come to us? No. While we were yet sinners. While we were still sinners. And in our case, before we even came into existence in order to sin, Christ died for us. What a gift. What amazing act of grace. And that God in Jesus Christ, God the Father comes as God the Son into Jesus Christ, incarnate in human flesh, to give himself for us on the cross as a gift, so that God through the power of the Holy Spirit might come to reside in us anew and afresh, to give us hope amidst the suffering, to pour out into us the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we're called to move on towards perfection. I'm always startled at annual conference when the bishop examines the candidates for ordained ministry, and there's a whole list of questions that's asked. I've done this before, just a few months ago. There's a whole list of questions that are asked, and one of those are, do you believe you're moving on to perfection? And you're supposed to answer yes. And then the bishop asks, do you believe that you will be made perfect in love in this life? And the answer is supposed to be yes. Perfect in God's love in this life? Yes. Well, Greg, have you ever known the perfect love of God in this life? And my answer is yes. And so have you. When I come to communion, either as presiding or as a communicant, there's a moment there when I receive, or a moment when I'm presiding at the table. There's a moment there where I know and experience inwardly the real abiding presence and love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not because of anything I have done, not because of any weak, anemic approximation of God's law that I might have been able to perform, but entirely because of God's grace and my faith connecting me with God's grace. All because of God, none because of me. I have a fleeting, instant, momentary awareness of being in the love, the perfect love, the life-transforming love, the powerful grace and presence of Jesus Christ, my Lord. So yes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us. And we know the loving, reconciling, transforming love of God when we say yes to that relationship that we are offered, when we say yes to that grace that we are offered, when we say yes to that love that we are offered. We know, because the Holy Spirit pours out into us the love of God. The love of God that went to the cross. The love of God that taught and fed. The love of God that healed and transformed. The love of God that came and was born and a baby in Bethlehem of Judea well over 2,000 years ago now. The love of God which was poured out into creation. The love of God that we know and experience in Pentecost. The love of God that we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love of God that is poured out into us when we say yes, when we live by faith, when we are justified by God's grace in faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a part of the core of the Christian faith. This affirmation, this proclamation of the love of God is the very center of the Christian faith, and how that love is poured into us to transform us, beginning with the proclamation, "Thou art righteous." And then Jesus coming to establish that love by dying for us. This is the very heart and core of the Christian faith. An affirmation that is affirmed itself through the resurrection of Jesus, and that we know and experience in prayer when we partake of any and all of the means of grace. We are receiving into ourselves anew and afresh that love, that amazing presence of God. As we go forth today, let us go forth realizing that we have partaken of the love of God. We have the love of God to share with others. And even when we go through suffering in this life, through pain and loss and fear, through wonder at what's going to happen next, through not knowing what the next day will bring, through broken relationships and broken families and hurting communities, may we experience the love of God and share that love with others. And as God builds our character and builds our endurance, God may also build our hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we live by faith, may the hope and the love of God abound through us all and to others. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say,